percolates to the top of your thinking out of that Skype session. Whoever takes the next bite can go first.
Well, I thought first, just acknowledge that there are some contextual differences, certainly between Virginia Beach and Everett, size.
East Coast, West Coast.
The nature of the relationship with collective bargaining units and associations, you know, that implementation issues about that. Also, where they were in doing their strategic plan. I mean, this really was their strategic plan, and we're in a little different place.
We're in a different place
than that. But having said that, there are some great insights and nuggets of wisdom for us.
Truly.
Some of those, be patient, work the community engagement piece thoroughly and completely. I think that was a loud one. And I like when he said, not only then did the, he didn't say the community owned it. He said the community demanded it.
Mm-hmm. And was putting them on task when they didn't accomplish certain things.
Well, we usually think community engagement, so you get ownership.
Yeah.
Well, here they become then the drive.
As they
know,
were driving
it
in
them.
Some respects.
I was fascinated by that.
Well, transparency and process is something we pride ourselves in and do well, and that's it's validated here clearly. And the purpose of our spending a year engaging people is all about them understanding what we're doing, why we're doing it, how we're doing it, and feeling like it's not a surprise. It's not being imposed on them, but helping them want it.
What else stands out as a nugget from the conversation?
Well, I was thinking, since we have spent the last couple of years engaging our community for the strategic plan, I think we might have already really set a good groundwork moving forward with this.
And the 21st century concept came out of that process and is in the plan because of that process. So it's not like we're starting from scratch at all. Mm-hmm. We're going to a deeper level of interpretation and definition.
What I like about it too is he said, make this a touchstone for all of your work. Don't just let it be because it's 21st century skills. No, do it for everything that you do, you know, whether it's the budget and how you touch the budget and developing the budget to assessments. And I think that's what we have to focus in on. It's not just 21st century skills. It's how we change the way in which we think from now going forward.
Change it in what way?
We're including everything that we do about 21st century and how we look at any application we do. We're blending it in. If we develop a budget, we have to look at, we do it collaboratively, we communicate the results, we, you know, everything that we have a creativity of it, the need for it, so that it touches everything, and we're thinking everything through. Make it a touchstone for all of your work, everything that you do. I guess it's changing our culture in a sense, our district and board culture, and how we respond to everything.
I thought the question you asked, Pam, elicited a couple of real aha moments about what you would do differently. And Mary said, I do the creation process, the community engagement stuff the same, wouldn't change that. But then when it came to implementation, he talked about kind of the two mistakes that he had made of not having, it sounded like the PLCs were not functioning.
They didn't even know what PLCs were.
At the level they needed to be, there weren't enough of them to implement that, and they had to make sure that work was done in place. And then also kind of the manpower issue of the central office of implementing system-wide.
Exactly.
Two warnings.
Well, the Vanguard approach is very much like what you've done with the Danielson.
And the eight-step stuff.
So we're familiar with that approach, and
we didn't pick as good a word.
And system mentors, those schools that are doing really well, be a mentor to those that need it. I like that approach too. Do it in phases, not, I'm glad I did ask that question.
Yeah, that was very insightful.
What I liked about his presentation is he was very honest. I mean, he just told it like it was. It wasn't, let me think about how should I say this so it doesn't make us look like we did something bad. I mean, he actually came out and told you the good and the bad and the ugly. So I appreciated that. He's very honest.
The one thing it made me wince, but it made me a little uneasy was when he talked the two track or the two field sort of thing, which is sounded like, and I know the reality behind it, and it's a practical and quick way to talk about, okay, you're still got the state assessment accountability, all that stuff, but now you got this other thing going on here, and it sounded too much, kind of silo sort of thing, and not...
not cross?
I think if he said in implementation, it maybe was more seamless, that you do this stuff well, it positively impacts the other, but certainly conceptually... Two fields is not an image for synthesizing the work here.
Well, I caught it as he actually said we had to blend it in together with it. We had to blend in, but yet we still had to do it, but we're not forgetting assessments.
Right.
But we're trying to blend it in together. But
they have the dilemma that the state would not modify the
standards.
Standards and requirements, so they had to keep those standardized measures visible while they're doing the rest of their work.
I thought it was kind of interesting that they were using those different assessments to determine.
Do they really get at what they're trying to do?
Yeah, I wasn't sure that's what I would use to measure.
He didn't have the benefit that now Ed Leader 21 is developing rubrics for the 21st century skills. So the rubrics would be a tool for measurement that we could look at and consider if we didn't like these alternatives that he's using.
He did mention rubric, but then didn't really elaborate on it.
Well, they're just now coming out. So they're,
So Virginia Beach created their own.
Yeah, and there are a number of school districts that have created their own.
I think a statement, too, that they did the kind of the walkthroughs and the observations. To me, that's more indicative that these really are more sort of subjective evaluation. You can't really give them a test and say, oh, they've got 21st century skills. I think that's the piece that I'm struggling with, is how are you going to know you're making progress?
I like the picture at graduation when they took a picture or a camera to the graduates. Mm-hmm. And like you said, at this point in time, they're going to be very honest because they know they have nothing to lose. What change have you noticed in the last 4 years? Yeah, we work in teams and we work, all these
project
things,
based,
project-based and, that's
activities.
Very telling.
Mm-hmm.
It's very telling when you've implemented a change and the kids can see that. All of a sudden we have to do all these things that we hadn't had to do before. That's telling.
So I thought it was validating also that they selected a couple of 21st century skills to start with.
Just a couple.
Rather than...
All 11 of them.
I'm kind of worried about whether, do this kind of a model. You got to embrace the whole of it, and you got to have a master plan for all of it, and you got to have all of it moving ahead at the same time, versus if you can partialize. And he validated the idea that we've been talking about of let's not drop too much here, just kind of keep this manageable and figure out where we want to get started. So it narrows our community engagement question down to that issue of which of the 21st century skills are best for us to start with.
I know that was something Gary was hoping to hear from the board, if there was a sense of prioritization, that you had a skill or two or three that you felt like should be considered first, or that you had, let him speak to that if he cared to.
But, you know, that was part of the reading, especially in the first two chapters of the second book, multiple district examples of how the superintendents felt about which skill sets were most important, and how they got there wasn't necessarily disclosed in the chapter materials. Jim talked about what he thought was most important. He never really mentioned how the board got involved in any of that discussion, or whether they did or not. And neither were boards mentioned in any of the other parts of that reading. Now, I haven't read all the rest of the book. I certainly will before I get to Denver. That's why I asked you the basic question. Is it the policy choice to move forward with this? Is the order a policy choice? Is the community planning a policy issue? At what level do you say, here's our decision, the rest of it's up to you, tell us what you're doing, just to make sure that we don't think you're stupid about it, right? I mean, fundamentally, do you want to pick order? Do you want to understand structure? That's a part of the discussion that's very much related to the ends and means. He mostly talked about means, so that you would understand how they were getting to the ends, what the ends were and how they're getting there, and that they're not there yet entirely. Mm-hmm. So this was very much a means discussion, because you made the fundamental policy discussion you did when you adopted the strategic plan.
Right.
Yeah.
The next question is, from your perspective, okay, because it's a policy question, do we launch now, do we wait a while, how does it fit within the work that you're doing as a policy body? Where do other things fit to it, and what do you have to kind of not deal with on your agenda right now while we jump on this? I don't know, Phil, maybe I'm framing it.
No, I think that's pretty clear, actually. I was wanting to ask you if you had any ahas out of the call with Jim, but things that you're looking at differently.
There were some, yeah, in terms of how we got folks engaged, some of the pieces. He had walked me through this by phone when I was talking with him. I mean, because, you know, it's up to me to vet. I don't want to use an hour of your time if I don't have some sense of how that time is going to get used. So I talked through this with him for almost an hour on the phone, maybe half an hour, I don't know. And we connected by email a couple of times. I talked a little bit about it with Ken. And the reason I went to him is because Ken walked me through multiple district choices in terms of how they went about this work, and felt that the way we'd been doing our work is most like the way Jim did work with Virginia Beach City School. So, mm-hmm. So you notice that Jim talked very little about the board in terms of what they did.
Yeah, I noticed.
Somebody's on the steering committee. They're patient. They said, yes, go do this. They said, we don't care about an implementation dip. We've had some of those conversations already. We get very anxious when we get yellow arrows versus green arrows, and the red ones positively make us vibrate.
Right.
But that implementation dip kind of stuff applies to math, it applies to PLC 8 work, it applies to, you know, applies to those different things that we do to change people's relationships and practices. This is a bigger relationship practice change across the district, and remember, one of the reasons we talked about doing it was it gets at a number of those things that you want in terms of systemic change and outcomes for kids that are consistent across the district, the equity, the equity priority. So from my perspective, understanding a little bit more about where they were with PLCs, that was new for me. Understanding a little bit more about their assessment structure, what they picked at different places. And you notice, he didn't mention that there are quarterly reports to the board on kids' progress. He didn't mention that there are dashboards that they drill down and look in. He talked about, you know, 50-some indicators are too many. Sounded like last night's discussion, right?
Yeah.
And what the key things are that they've selected that tell the board that the district's progress is consistent with their expectations. So I think that several of those were ahas. So those were new things for me. I'm looking forward to the Denver trip more. I don't like getting on airplanes, but I'm much more looking forward to having some conversations with folks about how to do that. And, you know, but for me, it's about, oh my gosh, you know, given the things that Terry and I talked with you about this morning, how do we make this, when does it make sense so that we don't go tilt because people just say, I can't handle one more thing. You know, I'm doing this TPEP thing and I can't handle one more thing. So part of it is how do we blend that in with what we're doing? That's a huge question for me right now. You were able to space it.
So I'm thinking that the sweet spot would be things we're already doing. Critical thinking and collaboration.
Think of those two, particularly with out of the STEM symposium.
Uh-huh.
You know.
I'm curious of what you're thinking, Terry and Gary, about professional learning communities. His comment that they had some things to teach to develop quality professional learning communities. The collaboration piece, you know, is we're trying to create collaboration time, and we're seeing collaboration as a 21st century skill, and we're seeing professional learning communities as the vehicle for some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to do a lot of work in building professional learning community capacity, know-how, for successful use of that time? Or do we think we have that already and it's just needing the time?
Well, I would...
I'm interested to know what Terry thinks.
Me too.
He's working on it.
I would wager, without knowing anything, I would say wager, that we're farther ahead than they were. And I say that because about 6 years ago, we brought in the national experts on PLCs, the DeForest, and we had you might have been on the board then. We had 1,100 people in the auditorium, and we worked on that, and that was a huge push for us. We sent probably 75%+ of our administrative, our principals, to DeFore workshops and other parts of the country. So that was a big push. And when somebody said, I can't remember who, it might have been Gary, said, no, it was Joyce. It was Gary, in your presentation this morning, you said we had transitions, we had good to great, we had the other book that was up there. Those aren't gone. Those are things that have been in the district and that we're working on. So I think we have that foundation. Now, but the second half of the question was, do you think we need more work on expanding that? Absolutely. And that's what a lot of this bargain is about, is how do you focus the time, because each principal has been in charge of cobbling it together the best they can in order to have that. What this bargain will do for us is provide a uniform set of time with that expectation.
So one of the things that I learned when I came into the district was that the district had invested in this before training, and people were doing it. And I can remember sitting in a presentation by a principal for a certification work as and hearing the phrase, and not from just him, quite frankly, but it came across clearly, we do PLCs in our district. And I thought, oh no, you don't do PLCs. You use that framework, that way of getting together to accomplish work collaboratively around what kids are learning and what they're not. You have to have data, you have to have standards, you have to have protocols, you have to have responsibilities, and there's huge accountability for the work of the group. Just being trained in PLCs by the DeForest is like any other drive-by training. If there aren't mechanisms in place and expectations and there isn't principal follow-up, then the learning dissipates and what you're doing is meeting without necessarily any structure, accountability, purpose, or tie to the standards and the expectations for kids. That's why one of the first things that we did when I arrived was start on, with Andy Platt and Carolyn Tripp, start on the skills of principals around calibrating their ability to similarly identify quality instruction and quality use of collaborative time, PLCs. And we've been doing some investment in that to get us to this point with TPEP, because TPEP requires it, the model evaluates on collaborative effort, right? Which the current system
does not do.
Mm-hmm. And that's huge. So I think Terry's right. I would describe it almost exactly the way he did. We're ahead, but I would say that there was this big investment. There's probably a dip in skills and attentiveness. And in some schools, that wasn't the case. So when you look at Silver Lake and you look at Evergreen and you look at Gateway, those, Penny Creek, those are shining stars of continuing progress using...
We have some jewel boxes.
Absolutely,
there.
There's no question.
And the big deal...
The vanguards.
PLCs, the vanguards. All those pieces, the biggest deal, I think, you need the PLC is a purpose.
Yep.
And those schools adopted a purpose. OTG is really a PLC of high school principals. Mm-hmm. That is a purpose. So they focus on the problem. Then they have a reason to meet, they have a reason to discuss them, a reason to get data, to look at them. So that's kind of... our next
book. And our big barrier is how we create the time and space to do that, which is, again, what the bargain's about more than anything else, because those schools have, the principals have manipulated time and adjusted schedules and blocked and slotted staff and they take over classes themselves. They do all kind of, buy lots of sub time, which was that we don't want to be taken out of class stuff, in order to get folks into a meeting all day long in most cases.
So
where they have to work the data.
Of the four C's, collaboration just strikes me as not only the vehicle for the work, but we teachers can't teach collaboration unless they know how to do it. Yeah. And so building the capacity and role modeling in school settings is one of the vehicles, I think, to get achieving that as a high level.
And what if you pick collaboration, I mean, as one of the top priorities? Does that help support the work that we want teachers to do together?
Or, because you heard so strongly from kids the last couple of days, communication.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's already replete throughout our curriculum.
Right.
It is supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
Is that the right place to start?
Well, you can make an argument for critical thinking, too. I mean, rigor.
Because we're hammering on rigor in a big way right now.
It is all about, you know, being able to look at issues from all perspectives.
Well, you can also say all four. For us, it might be a good time.
Oh, really?
When we say we're going to do communication or do collaboration, what flashes through my mind is we're creating something new and then we're going to do it.
And we're not.
Yeah.
Because we've already started.
But when we go out and say that to people, that's what they're going to flash on to. So as we think about, those are important aspects of what we want to do. How do they already exist and how do we strengthen them and how do we strengthen the attitude and culture in the district that those are important?
We say we're going to start emphasizing greater use of, because we already do it now, or greater emphasis in it.
Strengthen, I think that's the word. How do we strengthen what
strengthen
we're already doing?
Greater emphasis
in. So
it's
not this new thing that's dropped.
So I'm remembering how Jim described to us how devastating it would have been for him to gather a few people in his office and say, here's what we're going to do. And then go out and try to sell it to everybody, which is a distinct parallel to what we're starting to slide into. But part of what we heard from him is the processing with the community and the staff around how this framework is important to us and drives our work and how we assess kids' growth was absolutely huge.
Good segue.
Well, I want to go back to this work meets a number of priorities of yours around preparedness of youngsters, around preparedness of staff, around engaging parents, around engaging the larger community, coalescing folks around the purpose of the organization. And remember, we're doing this work as we lead right up to 2014. So the timing of all that's, and how we engage folks and what we ask them and how we ask them and the process we use and how we continue to report out to folks is pretty darn important.
So it requires critical thinking to collaborate. We can't collaborate without communication. I mean, those, they just think so easily. If they perk up to your talk. The idea that you're strengthening it, you're not starting a new initiative. So the board's putting some kind of endorsement, support, backing.
If you start looking at the subtitle of that book, the little red book you read, it's great, I think. Learning for Life. And 21st century skills are one of the skills you need to learn for life.
Yeah.
So if you, as we thought, Pam and I have been talking about how would we do community engagements, and I think the thing to think about is as you start those engagements and as you engage in this work and the community and staff see how you're engaging in the work and what are those important aspects of the work, then those sorts of things kind of come out. How do they fit within what we're already doing? So it doesn't feel like a new thing. It feels like this is a culture change. These are the important pieces. We're expanding what's important from SWA or standardized tests of some sort to those larger skills to prepare kids for life. And in that, all of those things that have already happened can start to bubble up as being important. Then we can enhance it. Where if we, the thing I worry about is we come in and we, now we're going to do this. It's going to be like we do in the math adoption. It's a different feel.
That language will not be energy creating.
Yeah, it's going to be, maybe not.
I like the word enhance, because that's essentially what we're doing. We're just enhancing greater focus in that, certainly. We're not doing it, because we're already doing it.
When Jim said that this is the right work, and everybody agreed this is the right work, that's really what it's about. It's people know. I mean, you think about your own kids. What you want them to be is healthy and competent and be able to achieve. You also want them to know how to do math and science and all those things that might be measured by a standardized test.
Right.
But it's more than that. It's being prepared, learning for life.
Yeah, learning for life.
So lunch, and then Terry and Pam are going to share during lunch.
That's good. That's great.
Good plan.
15 minutes.
Good plan.
So those that would like to eat lunch, and we'll use these tables still. So.
Yep.
Nobody ran for the lunch.
I'm ready.
Now, if she'd have brought coffee, I think folks would have already done it.
Just bringing some back here.
Is she? Great.
Yeah.
So you want to take five to lunch? All right.